The following sermon was preached at Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Redlands, California. For more information, please visit our website at hopeprc.org.
Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, we begin our reading at verse 35 and read to the end of the chapter. But some man will say, "How are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. It may chance of wheat or of some other grain. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another of fishes, and another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial, but the glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Albeit that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural. And afterward, that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. As we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Thus far we read the divinely inspired scripture this morning. It's on the basis of that second half of 1 Corinthians 15 and all of sacred scripture that the Heidelberg Catechism gives us the instruction of Lord's Day 50 this morning. Lord's Day 50 of the Catechism is the subject for the sermon this morning. So let's turn to Lord's Day 50. Which is the fourth petition. Give us this day our daily bread, that is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved in congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the first three petitions of the model prayer, Jesus instructed us to turn our attention to God and to focus on God our Father, praying for the hallowing of His name and for the coming of His kingdom and for the doing of His will. God is first. And having offered these petitions, then Jesus, and only then, does Jesus instruct us to look at ourselves and our needs and to pray to God for our needs. And we begin by praying for our most basic needs, for our bodily needs, praying, "Give us this day our daily bread." That petition the Lord Jesus gives us assumes two main facts. The first fact is that we have bodily needs. And the second fact is that God supplies these needs. We just sang that in Psalter number 7. He shall supply your needs. We have bodily needs. God supplies these needs. And so we pray to God, "Give us this day our daily bread." That first main assumption, that we have bodily needs, is implied in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15, of course, is the great biblical chapter on the bodily resurrection from the dead. By the power of the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ, these very bodies in which we live now today on this earth, these bodies that will go into the dust of the ground, into the grave and rot and decay, these bodies shall be fit for heaven one day when Jesus Christ comes and He takes these bodies and He raises them from the dead so that they are incorruptible, glorious, powerful, spiritual bodies. That's the main teaching of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But in order to show the wonder of the bodily resurrection from the dead, the inspired apostle says something about these physical bodies we have now. He describes some of the characteristics of these bodies so that we will be impressed by the body we will have, though we can't fully comprehend and grasp what that new body will be like. But as for now, these flesh and blood bodies that we have today, they're corrupted by sin and the effects of sin, verse 42. It is sown in corruption. These bodies are dishonorable as they endure the consequences of sin and suffering, and then especially death itself, dishonorable. That's verse 43. It is sown in dishonor. These bodies are weak, and we experience that. These bodies, they break down over the course of time. They're ravaged by disease and illnesses. And as we get older, there are more and more things we cannot do like we used to do. These bodies are weak. Verse 43, it is sown in weakness. And these bodies are natural. They're subject to all of the limitations of earthly, physical, material life here on the earth. They need oxygen. They need bread. They need water. Natural bodies. It is sown a natural body. Every body from the soft little infant body to the muscular body of the young man to the brittle boned frail body of the aged saint, every body is a weak natural body. And like every other body in the universe, whether it's a body in the celestial sphere, like Saturn, as we call it, or Venus, or the moon, or whether it's a body in the terrestrial sphere, a body of this earth, like the body of a cow, or the body of a shark in the waters, or the body of a crow, a bird in the sky, every body is a natural earthly body that relies for its continued existence upon God. God in his providence must, and God alone can, maintain every single body. Our bodies, these bodies we have today, they're very weak, natural bodies. And that truth is brought out by the inspired apostle in order to magnify the truth of the resurrection of these bodies in the day of Jesus Christ. But the point for this morning is not so much the resurrection of the body. The point this morning is that these bodies are weak, natural bodies. Even Adam in paradise had his basic needs in the body. So God put these trees, these fruit trees, all throughout the garden so that Adam and Eve could come and they could take fruit and eat it for the maintenance of their bodies. But we have more needs in our bodies than Adam and Eve had. We live in this sin-cursed world in which the fruit of the earth is not yielded to us but through labor and arduous toil and sweat dripping from our brow. And we have these bodies now that are so weak and affected by sin and the consequences of sin. We're needy. In the body, we are needy. Jesus recognizes that. And so he teaches us to pray. And when we pray concerning our needs, we have to begin with our most basic needs, our bodily needs. And so he teaches us to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread for these weak natural bodies." So let's look at Lord's Day 50 this morning, our prayer for our bodies. First of all, what we pray. In the second place, why we pray. And finally, how we pray. According to the Catechism, the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer is a prayer for our bodies. What is the fourth petition? "Give us this day our daily bread." That is, "Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body." So what do we pray? This: "Give us this day our daily bread." That prayer is, first of all, a prayer for bread. In consideration of this bread for which we pray, let's notice in the first place that this bread is physical bread that we eat. It's true. Sometimes the scripture speaks of the spiritual graces of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ as the bread of life come down from heaven. That's John chapter 6. But that's not the idea here in the fourth petition. There have been some in the history of the church who have said that this fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, in order to be in harmony with the rest of the Lord's Prayer, it's not a petition for earthly physical bread. That's far too lowly. We come from the heights of praying for the hallowing of God's name and the coming of his kingdom and the doing of his will. Then Jesus wouldn't teach us to pray for lowly earthly bread. That's unbecoming of a spiritually minded Christian. That's not true. We're praying for physical bread. And after Jesus taught the disciples this model prayer, according to Matthew chapter 6, he explained to them that the Father provides for all the needs of the birds of the air, the fowls. And the fowls aren't looking for spiritual food. They need basic earthly food. And Jesus says, "Even as your Father takes care of the birds of the air, he will take care of you with physical provisions." This is a prayer for physical bread. That's not unbecoming of the Christian to pray for bread. That's a mark of humility. It's a recognition that we are so weak and dependent upon God that we not only need spiritual blessings for our soul, we need physical things like bread. It's a mark of pride to say, "I don't need to pray for bread." I mean, there's a lot of things I can't do, but I can give myself bread. I don't need to pray to God for that. That's pride. That's self-reliance. Jesus teaches a very humble petition. "Give us this day our daily physical bread for the mouth." Secondly, concerning this bread, let us notice that bread is representative of all of the basic provisions for earthly life. The Catechism says, "Be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body." We're not praying for bread only, but we are praying for all the basic provisions that are represented by bread. So the children especially need to understand that when you say the Lord's Prayer at home or at school and you pray, give us this day our daily bread, you're not only praying for bread, but we're praying for many things represented by bread. We're not only praying for food and drink for this earthly body, we're praying for clothing so we can cover these bodies. In the colder the climate, we're going to need a little more clothing. We're praying for a dwelling place, a home in which we can live with our bodies. We are praying for a job so that we can go to work and earn a wage in order to buy food and drink and clothing and maintain a home that we can live in with our bodies. And we are praying for health and strength that we may be able to perform the duties of our station and calling. Bread represents many provisions. These are the very immediate provisions that we're very conscious of because they touch us physically and they're part of our everyday experience, but we need to understand that there are even more remote realities that we have in view when we pray, give us this day our daily bread. For example, we are praying for God's providence to continue to work in the creation, ordering and controlling all of these little complex activities and processes that we might study in a science class so we can have bread. Think about what you need in order to have a piece of bread on your plate today. Piece of bread. In 1 Corinthians 15, the inspired apostle likens the planting of the corpse, the planting of the dead human body into the grave, to taking a seed and planting it in the earth. So now we think about seeds. How do we get a piece of bread on our plate? Well, that little seed has to go into the dirt, and according to the apostle, it has to die. You can't have a resurrected body unless the dead body first goes into the ground. You can't have a golden sheaf of grain unless a little seed first goes into the dirt. It has to die. That is, it has to break apart through the process of germination so that it can send a little root down into the soil and so that it can send a little shoot up through the dirt and it can pop out. And who's going to do that? Who's going to govern each one of these little seeds, billions and billions of seeds all throughout the world? And who's going to send that sunshine that the little plant needs? And all that water that must come down from the heavens or be stored in rivers and reservoirs so that the farmer can take it and water the crop? And who's going to make sure that a swarm of locusts doesn't come and eat up those crops as they're beginning to grow? And who's going to make sure that when these crops are harvested and they go into the storehouse, into the barn, they're not wasted and destroyed and ruined, but they're maintained, and that one day someone can take this and make bread and put it in the grocery store, we can buy it and put it on our plate. Someone by his providence has to order and control all of these complex activities that take place concerning that little seed in the dirt. And it's God, as God alone can do. And so when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, bread is representative of all of the provisions that we need, and we ought to keep in mind God's providence, which brings us these provisions as he works in the creation. Thirdly, concerning bread, this is a prayer for necessities. Catechism instructs us, we pray this, meaning be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. Bread is not only basic and representative, but bread is just plain simple. Bread. Jesus doesn't teach us to pray for the fatted calf. He doesn't say, give us this day the succulent, slow roasted lamb chop marinated with some wonderful marinade. He says, give us this day our daily bread. And then if God puts a piece of bread on our plate, he's answered our prayer, and we ought to be very happy and thankful to God. Bread is bread. And so Jesus is teaching us not to do what we want to do and not to do what society with all of its advertisements wants us to do, and that's to hanker. No hankering. Not to hanker for the sensual gratification of all of the fine things of life. Bread is not opulent. Bread is not extravagant. Bread is not luxurious. Bread is simple. God in His goodness may give us that which is opulent and extravagant and luxurious, and He so often does. We have far more than our daily bread. And we may enjoy the good things of the creation in moderation, sanctified through prayer to the glory of God, but we may not pray for them. You pray, says Jesus, saying, give us this day our daily bread. And that means the necessities. The necessities. And fourth and finally, concerning bread, Jesus teaches us to pray for daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, we do not pray, Lord, give us enough bread to last for the whole rest of the year. He often does that. But we don't pray for that. We go into the good land and we are full. And the danger is with all the good things in the good land that we forget our God. And so Jesus teaches us not to pray for bread for the rest of the year, but to pray for bread for today. Give us this day our daily bread, enough for today. And then day by day we keep relying upon our God. First of all, this prayer for our bodies, it's a prayer for bread and all that that entails. Secondly, this prayer for our bodies is a prayer that we utter conscious of the needs of the whole body of the congregation. For Jesus teaches us to pray, give us this day our daily bread. We do not say, give me, or even give me and my family this day our daily bread. But through the wonder of grace, we have been adopted through Jesus Christ into the household, the family of God, where we have spiritual brothers and sisters in the family of God. And that family of God is manifested on earth in a congregation where there is a body of like-minded believers, and we want to be conscious of the needs in the body, and that's why we pray with the plural, give us this day our daily bread. That requires then that we live in peace and unity with one another. If we're harboring ill will toward a brother or sister in the church, if we're living in enmity, I can't stand him. Can't stand her. Then when we fold our hands and we close our eyes and we bow our heads and we pray, our Father which art in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, God says that's sheer hypocrisy. You don't mean a word of it. You don't care about their needs. You can't stand him. And so, God exhorts us in the Scriptures to live in peace and to live in unity one with another. That's what we do by the power of grace. And as we live together in peace and love for one another, then we pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. And we mean it. Furthermore, this prayer requires then that we take an active interest in the members of the body of the congregation. How can we pray for others who have outstanding needs in the body if we don't know about them, if we don't talk to these people or to others who know them, maybe family members? So we seek to know some church news. Not so that we can light up the gossip hotline, but we seek to know church news so that we can pray. We want to know who lost their job. We want to know who's going to have a surgery, who's feeling very ill right now. We want to know whose pregnancy is not going very well, a lot of bed rest. We want to know so that we can pray. And therefore, we need to live together, as we do, in fellowship, talking and interacting and living together one with another. The consummate biblical congregation is the congregation that knows itself. It's the body that knows itself. And the body knows itself not simply by reading a report here or there that's printed on a piece of paper. The body knows itself as an organism, a living organism, as that body of members lives together and interacts with one another and talks together. And then we learn about the needs of other members of the body for this main purpose, so that in all of these houses, prayer after prayer after prayer can be lifted up to God. Give us this day our daily bread. And then we pray for the needs of others. First, it's for bread. Secondly, it's our prayer together for bread. And then third and finally, what we pray in this prayer for our bodies is a bold petition offered from a solid ground or foundation. The bold petition is give. Give us this day our daily bread. Last week, we noticed that in Scripture, the suffering saint does not pray, "Oh Lord, please grant me just a little bit of health or a little bit of this, but I recognize I'm a sinner and so I'm embarrassed, I'm ashamed to ask thee for anything, so I take that back." We notice that in the Scriptures, the saint comes before the throne of grace boldly, "Heal me, O God." Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Well, the proof that the child of God come before the throne of grace boldly is in the model prayer. Jesus teaches us to pray what not one of us would ever pray if he were not the one to teach us to pray this way. Give. Jesus says, when you pray, you look to God by faith and you say, "Give us. Give us." Say it. Say, "Give us." That's the bold petition. But then understand, that bold petition is offered as we stand upon a firm foundation, which is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have all fallen in Adam, and on account of all of the sins that we commit, we have no right to live in paradise. We've forfeited our place in paradise. And we have no right to life. Not in the womb. No man has a right to life in the womb. No man has a right to life out of the womb. No man has a right to life in heaven with God. No man has a right to communion with God, to forgiveness, to hope, to love, to confidence. No man has a right to a piece of bread, to a little drop of dirty water, to the breath of life. No man has a right to anything. We forfeited everything through our sins. But God the Son came into our bodies. He took a body, a weak, natural body, and he lived in that body. He ate food. He drank water. He went to sleep, one time even in a boat. And he suffered he was subject to the effects of sin all around him in the earth as he lived in that body. And especially in that body, he suffered. And then especially on the cross, he suffered all of the wrath of God upon him for all of our sins in Adam and the sins we each commit personally. He suffered the wrath of God. He made an atonement for all of our sins. And in his body, he fulfilled all righteousness. He earned righteousness for us so that we can be justified by faith, whereby the righteousness of Christ is freely imputed to us so that we are righteous with the righteousness of Christ. And only then can we say, "Give us." Oh, God will be so angry at the man who says, "Give me," while not being found in Christ. It is in Christ, the one to whom we belong in body and soul and life and death, with his righteousness and only with his righteousness, that we can say, give us. And then God is pleased to give us life and many, many good things. The wicked have no right to anything, not one piece of bread, not one breath of air, but judgment and judgment alone. Righteous in Christ. That's the good news of the gospel. Righteous in Christ, we say boldly, give us this day our daily bread. And God is pleased to do that for Christ's sake. That's what we pray. Why do we pray this prayer? According to the Catechism, we offer this petition to God for two main reasons. First, that we may acknowledge God to be the only fountain of all good. What is the fourth petition? Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. That we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. God is the fountain of all good. Praise God from whom blessings flow. But he's not merely the fountain of good. He's the fountain of all good, and he's the only fountain. The only fountain of all good. All good things come from God. We believers may not be so unspiritual that we think that forgiveness and eternal life come from the earth and from creatures. We know better. Everlasting life and forgiveness of sins comes from God. But neither may we be so unspiritual that we think physical things, basic necessities like bread, maybe a little Tylenol, an automobile, a t-shirt, these things come from the earth. They don't come from the earth. They come through the earth, but not from the earth. They come from God. He is the only fountain, the only source of all good. And so Jesus teaches us to pray, Lord, give us this day our daily bread, so that through that prayer we can acknowledge that every good thing comes from God. He's the only fountain of all good. This prayer then rules out that proud self-reliance in which we might come to think of ourselves as the fountain of all good. When we do not sincerely pray, give us this day our daily bread, when we only mutter that petition thoughtlessly, racing through it, when we're not conscious of what we are praying, then it's easy for us to go through life beginning to think that we are the fountain of all good. And then practically, we live like unbelievers. That's very dangerous. We leave the impression, Lord, I don't need thee for anything. I am the one who goes to work every day. I labor, I sweat from my brow, and I earn this wage as I get up every morning and go to work. And with this money that I earned, I put some in a savings account. With my wise investment strategies, I put some money toward investing for the future. I pay for my tuition. I look for discounts to put economical meals on the table. I am thrifty. I pay for my tuition. I put the bread on the table. I put the money in the bag as it's passed through and past me in church. I do these things. I'm industrious. I'm careful. I know there are other people who do not prosper as I do. That's because they're lazy. They don't have the work ethic that I have. They're not as industrious as I am. They're not as creative as I am. They're not as outgoing, and they don't have so many of the business contacts that I have. I'm better at reaching out to people, having better contacts, and I'm rewarded for that. I have the business acumen. I went to college. I got a degree. And that's why I'm a little better than other people are here or there and in that field. I've come to learn that when things get tough, I need to step it up. I need to push a little harder and everything will be all right. I've learned all of that. And God's gone. God is completely out of the picture. When we do not pray consciously and from the heart, Lord God, only fountain of all good, give us this day our daily bread. Then we live practically like unbelievers and God is out of the picture. Jesus will not have us live that way. Jesus will have us pray, Lord God, only fountain of all good, give us this day our daily bread. And as we do that, we are acknowledging that fact. God, I'm not the fountain of all good. God is the only fountain of all good. Everything comes from God. And therefore, when God brings me into the good land and I eat and I'm full, I will not say, bless myself, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless my name. I did it. When God showers blessings upon me in the good land, I will say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. He gave me the piece of bread. And everything above that bread. He is the only fountain of all good. This prayer also then rules out the carnal-minded thinking and it encourages spiritual thinking. When we're not praying this petition consciously, then we become very carnally-minded. What do we mean by that? Well, the Catechism here in Lord's Day 50 correctly reminds us that even if we have a lot of things, we might still lack the most important thing, which is God's blessing. The Catechism says, and that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. See, the wicked, they have many, many things, but they do not have God's blessing. And there's more to life than having many things, even good gifts that come from God. There is the indispensable blessing of God whereby He prospers us in all of these things as we move toward eternal glory. He prospers us personally. He prospers our home, prospers our church, prospers our school. We need not only gifts, but God's blessing. So a generous donor could come and write a $1 million check and give it to our school society and say, I heard that you would like to build a high school. This one's on me. $1 million. We would be better off without it. If God's blessing does not accompany that gift. To use the language of the psalmist Asaph, if we have a $1 million check, all that's going to do for us and our children, and watch long term over history, the consequences will be manifest. If we have a $1 million check without God's blessing, all that's going to do is create a nice slippery slide, and it's going to lead us and our children to destruction. It's not neutral, it'll hurt us. Unless we have the indispensable blessing of God who will profit us through that gift. And Jesus teaches us to be conscious of that. We need more than the gift. We need God's blessing. God is the overflowing fountain of all good. Not only the good gift, but it's only from God that the blessing can come to make the gift profitable for us. And we may not be carnally minded so that we lose sight of God's blessing, So Jesus teaches us to pray, O thou fountain of all good, give us this day our daily bread. And then to be conscious, we not only want the bread, we're spiritually minded, we want the blessing with the bread from the only fountain of all good. So first, we pray this prayer so that we can acknowledge God is the only fountain of all good. And secondly, we pray this prayer so that more and more we learn to withdraw our trust from creatures and put it in God alone. The Catechism says, and therefore that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Everything outside of God is a creature, and therefore everything outside of God fails. Everything. Everything's a creature, and everything fails. Riches fail. Proverbs 23, verse 5, wilt thou set thine eye upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. People have experienced that. They're a millionaire today. It boggles your mind. How could this happen? 2 years later, he's a homeless man on the street. He had $1 million. Riches fly away. They fail. Our bodies fail. We know that. We feel that. Through disease and injury and pain and simply through age, our bodies fail so that they cannot do what they used to do. Young men fail. Young men faint. Young men get weary. Young men utterly fail. The doctor can say, your tumor, it's cancerous. You say, no, it isn't. No, no, no. I'm an 18-year-old. Older people get cancer. I'm an 18-year-old man in tip-top shape. I've got a full-ride scholarship to this prestigious university. All my dreams from my childhood, they're laid out before me, a prosperous career. There it is, right on the horizon. I don't have cancer. You have cancer. Young man, you faint, you weary, and you utterly fail. All creatures do, even you, young man. Houses fail, they burn. Robbers come in, they break and steal. The boss says, next week it's your last week here. No. No, no. I have a wife, and I have children, and I have tuition to pay. It can't. Next week is your last week. Jobs fail. Everything's a creature. Everything fails. Doctors fail. Doctors fail. They misdiagnose. They perform a surgery that has the result which is the exact opposite of the intended result. Medicine fails. Taking some medicine is supposed to do a good thing. It causes a bad reaction. Medicine fails. Everything fails. And God sees to it that so many things around us fail so that we come to know only one does not fail. And he's God. God does not fail. His promises are sure. His mercies are new every morning. He's the rock. And if you stand by faith through Jesus Christ on the rock that is God, though everything around you may fail, you will not fail because God does not fail. And so through all kinds of troubles in life, God teaches us to withdraw our trust from these creatures and to put our trust in Him alone. But it shouldn't take suffering to teach us that. Jesus will have us learn that lesson every day by praying. And by praying this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And as we look to God, from whom whatever we need comes, more and more we come to understand. need to withdraw my trust from all these creatures and to put my trust in God alone. That's why we have to pray this. Why? To acknowledge God as the only fountain of all good. And secondly, to withdraw our trust from creatures, put it in God. What? Why? How? How do we pray this prayer for our bodies? We pray confidently. For the God to whom we pray in these weak natural bodies, with all these bodily needs, He can raise the dead. He can raise the dead. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 gives the basis for confidence in our prayer for our bodies. Have you ever seen a corpse? You haven't seen weakness, and you haven't seen failure, and you haven't seen that which is corrupted and dishonorable until you've seen a corpse. And by the way, it's good once in a while to see a dead man. Not pleasant at all. Not pleasant. But it's good once in a while to go to the house of mourning and see a dead man. Dead. You can take the burned, mangled, disease-ridden body of the most pitiful, suffering saint on the face of the earth, and that body doesn't compare to the corpse. The corpse, it's a dead body. There's no recovery. It's final. There's no surgery. There's no medication. There's nothing as final as death. Death is the end. But our God is so powerful and merciful in the Lord Jesus Christ, He can take a corpse, and not only a freshly deposited corpse into the dust of the earth, He can take a corpse that's been in the dust for 6,000 years. Make it new. He can raise it. Our God, according to 1 Corinthians 15, is in Jesus Christ, the God of the resurrection of the body. And if that's the God to whom we pray, then you and I ought to pray, give us this day our daily bread in these bodies that are weak and natural bodies with so much confidence. If He can raise our bodies, then dearly beloved, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. If He can raise our bodies from the dead, then when we pray for a job so that we can have some bread to put on the table for us and for our family and our bodies, we ought to have so much confidence. And if He can raise our body from the dead, then we ought to have so much confidence when we pray for a little bit of healing, a little bit of recovery, a little diminishing of the pain. God can raise the body from the dead. And if He can raise the body from the dead, then surely He can give us contentment with whatever His will may be. When we lift these petitions to Him in the body and He gives us what He pleases, we can be content, and we are. If He can raise the dead, He can make us content in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He does. So we're thankful, and out of gratitude, we keep praying, give us this day our daily bread. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for the simple lesson that we all need to hear again and again, that Thou art the provider not only of spiritual blessings but of physical gifts. We need to hear it, we need to be reminded, and we need to be stirred up by the Holy Spirit in our hearts consciously to rely upon Thee day by day and moment by moment, because the fact of the matter is, and this is the manifestation of our weakness, we don't do it. We all tend to lean upon ourselves And that's not good for us. And that doesn't bring glory to thy name. Lord God, teach us this morning again to rely upon thee. And may we learn the lesson. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.